You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. Live link too at the trumpet.com. Thanks for joining us in those at those locations. This is a Trumpet Radio Live for Wednesday. I'm Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau, stopping by as well today, and we're surviving the summer heat. It's not been horrible here. We can't complain compared to the Southwest, Arizona, California. They're in that heat dome. Of all the domes you want to be in, you don't want to be in the heat dome. It's too hot.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought the Thunderdome was bad enough, but the heat dome is something else.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So it's been hot out there. It's going to be, I guess, for the next few days. We're hitting 100 here, which is plenty warm. But some of those places are getting 110 and upwards. And then, of course, there's always, well, how does it feel? Feels hotter than it actually is. So.
Right.
But anyway, it's interesting. It's the beginning of summer here in the U.S. And whenever they show that that map of the nation, and you look at some of those areas in 75 and 80, and oh, they're lucky. But anyway, can't complain. There's always some place that looks a little better, but there's always some place that's probably worse off. So most people are in the middle, unless you're in Death Valley. And it can't be any worse than that.
Right. Yeah, then you're always going to be stuck with looking for some place better.
Well, it's interesting, too, because they're trying to rescue those scientists out of, where is that? Is that Antarctica or?
Yes, Antarctica.
Yeah, and so it's so cold there. They're having a hard time getting them out. And then you look at, like, Death Valley, and it's the opposite. It's 120, 30 degrees. So just funny how it's different in different places on the Earth. But kind of interesting, all the different weather patterns. A couple of headlines to talk about today. Also, we'll talk about the Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show as well. And talk about some things that have happened on this day in history as well. The first headline today is from the Washington Post. It says, why isn't the assassination attempt on Donald Trump bigger news? You know, somebody tried to kill him.
Right.
They didn't do a good job at it. I mean, they were really inept, but still, it hasn't gotten as big a news coverage as say, if it had been probably somebody else. The article says the number one trending question related to Donald Trump on Google right now is, who tried to shoot Trump? Not something you want to have people search when your name's involved. They say it means a lot of people don't know the answer, which is probably because the assassination attempt on the presumptive Republican presidential nominee hasn't been covered as a major news story. Of course, the person involved, his name is Michael Stephen Sanford. He's a 20-year-old British citizen, and he was in the United States illegally after overstaying his visa. Sanford allegedly tried to pull a gun from the holster of a police officer at a Trump rally in Las Vegas on Saturday. He was arrested and later told the Secret Service that he had driven to the event from California and had been planning to kill the candidate for a year. According to the complaint that was filed in the U.S. District Court. News outlets have certainly reported on the incident, but it hasn't gotten anything resembling the wall-to-wall coverage of other events that occur. Cable news shows devoted little time to Sanford Tuesday morning and afternoon. Trump's dismal fundraising report for May and his recent firing of a campaign manager received far more attention. Trump called in to the Trump-friendly Fox and Friends morning show, and he wasn't even asked about the attempt. So the article goes on to say that, well, maybe it's because the guy didn't get all that close to it, actually accomplishing it. They also point out that if Trump wanted it to be bigger news, he could make it bigger news. Maybe it's just not that relevant. But it is interesting because, as some people have pointed out, what would the media be saying if it was another candidate? What if it was Hillary Clinton or the president? It seems like that would be a lot bigger coverage about that.
Right. Yeah, it is really interesting because even if someone doesn't get close to it, it's so significant that they had the intent to murder. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a very important person right now in the political world, and it does show a pretty dangerous environment that he's living in, because if there's just one, will there be more? Are other people thinking of doing the same thing? And it does highlight, just for all the hate speech against him, calling him a dictator, comparing him to Hitler, comparing him to Mussolini, a fascist, all these different, all this rhetoric coming from so many different people. And then someone tries to kill him. No one starts to question, like, well, maybe we should tone down our rhetoric ourselves, because those things usually imply pretty drastic action if you're calling someone those things. So I think it's, I read about it too, and the guy didn't even get close. But so maybe that's part of it, as you mentioned. But I think it does highlight how a lot of things have been said about him, and it is turning, especially people who are maybe a little unstable anyway, to maybe some pretty dangerous action, like we've seen with Sanford.
There has been some pretty outlandish comparisons, like you mentioned. And then, too, I think it also highlights that this Sanford guy, he doesn't really fit into any narrative that the media likes to spin, because they don't really, as much as they do like to report on Trump because he's good headlines, they're not behind him. They're not supporting him. They have kind of their narratives that they like, which is they're going after people that they perceive to be racist, or people that they perceive to be homophobic or Islamophobic, or all of these things. But if you have somebody trying to assassinate a Donald Trump, it doesn't fit into any narrative. And I think that's why you're not seeing people run with it more. Because if this was on somebody else that they considered to be one of their causes, they would be all over it, I would think, and say, well, this is systematic of a bigger problem. You can just hear the headlines. You can envision the headlines and how they would just, beat the drum about it. Well, this is because of this and this and this. I just don't think it fits in any narrative for them that they care to go after. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. He's someone that's not even an American, a young British man who's here illegally, and he doesn't really fit into any group that they would monitor or be able to politicize either. So it does seem like a pretty dangerous situation that thankfully passed, but neither side really gained from it, if we can speak about in those terms.
Yeah, just but hopefully we don't see anything more like that. But it is a violent world, and there are violent words, even if nothing else. This next story here is, this will be kind of near and dear to your heart, Abraham, because we've talked about dogs, and you've had some encounters with some pretty vicious dogs at times.
Right.
And this is from the Associated Press. It says, Dallas takes action on loose dogs after pit bulls kill a woman. Dallas city leaders expressed outrage in the month after a homeless Army veteran was killed by roaming dogs, bitten more than 100 times as the animals tore one of her arms to the bone and ripped away most of her thigh. The 52-year-old Brown was attacked by three pit bulls in the early hours of May 2nd in a neighborhood of single-story aging homes, some of them left vacant. A city council report on the attack noted that much of a thigh was missing. Brown died in a hospital days later. The loose dogs had run free before the mauling and in the days after. Their owners have had dogs seized in the past. Police have said they could face charges. Well, I would hope so. But none had been filed by Tuesday as a criminal investigation continues. Brown's death led the city to increase enforcement. Authorities since early May have arrested at least 40 people on some 160 animal-related warrants. And so in the Dallas area, especially in the poorer neighborhoods, there's a lot of dogs. They're just roaming. There's a lot of pit bulls, and they're having attacks. One dog, one pit bull is a threat. Two, three, four, that's serious business. And I've only ever seen one pit bull up close, and it was in Dallas, walking into a gas station. Somebody had it and just on a leash, and that was one of the meanest-looking things I've ever seen. So I know there's a lot of opinion out there about pit bulls, but I just think it's interesting that they're dealing with this problem there. And you yourself, some of the areas that you have to drive sometimes, depending on where you're going, you have pit bulls come up, chase your truck, and do things like that.
Right, yeah. There seems to be a lot in a few areas around here in Oklahoma, and some of them are fine, but there are some that are pretty aggressive, and they chase after my truck, or if I park it and there's one in the yard, and if it's not chained up, it'll actually come over to the yard and keep barking. And So you just have to be careful because a lot of them won't be too aggressive, but you just never know because you do hear stories like this. You just never know when they'll attack or when they'll be really aggressive. And there was a man who lives in Oklahoma here. He told me a story about there was a pit bull attacking some of his animals. He has some chickens and goats and that kind of thing. And he had to shoot the pit bull over 20 times to stop it because it just kept coming. And I mean, he wasn't a bad shot. It was shots to the head and like shots to the vital areas, and it kept coming. So, wow. And that's with some pretty high powered weapons. So when you think about just three pit bulls attacking a homeless person, just with no kind of defense, probably taken by surprise, I mean, they're pretty vicious animals, and that's what they were designed to do, is to attack. So it's a terrifying thing to think about, but it is a problem that doesn't need to be addressed, I think.
Yeah, and as you have children and that type of thing, I mean, you think about those things. Kids like to ride their bikes, or they're outside playing. There have been stories about that where, you know, even I remember a story from a few years ago where a child was playing in their yard, and there happened to be a pit bull in the next yard, and there was a fence separating them, and a pretty substantial, I think, one of those wooden fences. The pit bull dug underneath the fence and pulled the kid through and killed it. So, again, you know, people have opinions one way or the other about pit bulls. I've heard quite a few arguments where, you know, people tried to say they're fine and that type of thing, so I'm not really getting into that. But the reality is that they can be dangerous animals, and you know, if you're an adult man, maybe they'll think a little bit about it. If they're in a pack, I don't think they would. If there was one of them, maybe they would.
Right.
But the children, the older people, the more vulnerable people, those are the ones that sometimes these things occur. And it's amazing, too. You know, you would think about this more if maybe in a rural setting, but this is in Dallas. And again, it's another scourge on the lower income area of the city. And why do people have these dogs? I don't know, maybe for protection. Maybe they're fighting with them. I don't know. I mean, I know people do that, unfortunately. And if the owners don't keep them locked up or don't keep an eye on them, there could be some serious problems. And what are you going to do if you get attacked by these dogs? You know, so anyway, interesting story, and I thought you had some insight on that, too, because you've dealt with it a little bit with them chasing your vehicle.
Right.
So.
Yeah, thankfully, I haven't been on foot when I've encountered them. But yeah, I think it's something everyone has to be mindful of, like when you're moving around those areas. But hopefully it's something that can be fixed or addressed, just because usually animals act a certain way because they're treated a certain way by their owner, or circumstances just happen to not be good for them. And I think that's probably the source of why there are so many, especially in maybe those lower income areas where it's harder to care for animals, where you see a lot more of them roaming around like that maybe.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some people have really strange animals. You know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about, I went to one of those cat preserves where people have gotten lions and tigers and they couldn't care for them. They end up at these places. And it's amazing that people just will buy lions in places where they can, or sometimes illegally. And they just say, well, we're just going to have a lion around the house. You know, and then Right. Obviously at some point they realize, oh, this is trouble. So, and I think it was maybe in Dallas or somewhere down there where somebody did have a lion. They were telling us this story, and they ended up having to put the thing in the backyard because there's nothing they could do with it in the house once it got big. But it was roaring, and the neighbors could hear it. And so somebody called the authorities, like, we're hearing roaring, you know. So, but I do think that would be somewhat comical if, like, a bunch of pit bulls came into a yard and they were barking. All of a sudden, this lion you know, starts roaring. It's like, whoop.
Yeah, wrong yard.
Wrong yard. We're going to back on out of here real carefully. So, yeah, that's always interesting. Some people, especially when it comes to lions and tigers, they just, I guess, think they can tame them or something. But you can't.
Yeah, there was, in Oklahoma here, someone in close to where I go to sometimes, they had wolves. I think they had three wolves that they bought.
We're talking about like a private residence?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I think he was fine with them because he had them for a long time. But whenever this particular family went and visited them because they were neighbors or close by, he'd keep to make sure the kids were still in the car because those wolves just looked just as wild as they were if they weren't in captivity. And, I mean, those things look, from what they told me, they look pretty scary. Like, they're just wild animals there, and you don't know exactly what they're going to do. So, and that's the thing is with animals, like we've said before, as much as we can domesticate them or try to, they are wild. They have instincts, and they'll act on that no matter how much we try to change that or try to mitigate it.
That, and that's part of the argument, I think, that people bring up against having pit bulls is that they're bred to be fighters. And so even though they might be okay for a while, eventually they will fight. You know, so there's various opinions on that, and that's not we're getting into necessarily, but yeah, if I saw one or two or three, I'd be careful.
Yes.
Be careful. You ever get to that point, Abraham, where you just want to be a kid again?
Quite frequently, actually.
That seems to be a thing that happens sometimes in a, even I would say more so today. A lot of stresses, a lot of pressures, and people want to be carefree sometimes. Well, if you live in Seattle, if you want to go to Seattle, you can do that. Seattle Adult Summer Camp provides escape from stress. So if you want to go back to summer camp again, didn't get to go as a kid, or you did and you loved it, you can go back again. This is from KGW.com. Nikita Nozev works sales for a Seattle tech startup. It's stressful. And even at just 23 years old, sometimes he longs to be a kid again. He said, I get tired of the noise, whether it's on the city street, the constant noise from my cell phone or TV. It's hard to just be, he said. Of course, I wonder if he knows that he can turn the TV off.
Right.
Yeah. Then it's quieter. Turn the volume down. It says that is why Nikita signed up for a 4-day escape camp at Camp Rahh, R-A-H-H, a summer camp for adults. It says, when you're at summer camp having the time of your life, no worries, no stress, no frustration, I miss that, he said. On the shores of Padilla Bay in Skagit County, campers can do pretty much anything they want. They play games, take art classes, they kayak, they hike, or do nothing at all. There is an oasis of hammocks hidden in the woods. If you find them, you can snooze all day if you choose. It's a different camp than I went to as a kid, but okay. The camp's director, Mary Hazen, said, here is your opportunity to act like a kid. Unfortunately, we're not really invited to do that very much in life. And Camp Rahh costs $450 for the 4-day weekend. Early birds get a $60 discount, which includes transportation, food, and everything else. That's actually not a bad price. It's hard to find a 4-day vacation for that.
Yeah.
There is one catch, though. All technology is strictly forbidden. Everyone surrenders their phones upon arrival. No selfies, no Snapchat, no Facebook, no Instagram. So if you're willing to give those things up and you want to be a kid again for a little bit, you can go to this adult summer camp in Seattle.
Yeah, the only the only thing I find ironic about that is that the summer camps I went to as a young person, usually you had someone telling you what to do for how many ever weeks it was. but I understand what they're doing there. And of course, we all need to get away sometimes to, and I mean, it's nice to do things maybe you did as a kid or more juvenile or carefree type activities. I think a lot of people like doing things they did with their family growing up and those sort of things. But I'm not sure if I want to revert to being a teenager again either.
Yeah, I guess one thing about it, I totally get the thought of wanting to just take a little bit of a break and a breather. And you can do that as an adult, typically, just take a vacation or take a day here or there. But we talked a couple of weeks ago about how people are suspending adulthood a little bit more now than they used to where some people are still living with mom and dad up until being 30. And not just because they need to, but because, why not? It's cheaper,
right.
It's comfortable, do what you want. And kind of putting off adult responsibilities. And so, yeah, it's nice to take a break once in a while, but at the same time, as an adult, that's what adult life is. I mean, it is responsibility. It is working so you can send your kids to summer camp. And so, you know, it is kind of interesting looking at it through that perspective as well, because I do think it kind of highlights just that there is a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, and it seems like some people just want to hide from it and kind of become a kid again, but you can't.
Right.
You have responsibilities, normally. You got to pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, it is. I think there's just a hint of selfishness there, or not necessarily selfishness, but just looking at the empirical self where, like, I need this. I want to be a kid again. Responsibilities don't come first. I come first. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone needs a break. You can't deal with those things uninterrupted, and you need to de-stress and all that. However, there's a proper adult way to do that. You do have to always bear in mind responsibilities when you're an adult, because that, like you said, that's the whole point. We had our time as children. Now it's time to be adults and let other people be the teenagers and the children, and let us take care of them, just like our parents or other people took care of us. So, I think it's just an indication of this generation we're seeing, and it's not just a generational thing, but mainly this current generation, where it does look more, a little more inward than looking outward, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So, sort of interesting there, the summer camp, the adult summer camp in Seattle. So, it does sound like fun activities, but I don't know that I'd want to do it in a camp setting. I'd rather just, I think, go with my family and take a weekend or something like that. But
right.
Grant Turgeon, who is on the program with us a lot, he's going up to Seattle next week.
Right, yeah.
So, I should tell him about this.
Yeah.
Adult summer camp, see if he wants to take a breather and just sleep all day in the, what was that called? Oh, the hammocks.
Yeah, the hammocks, yeah.
You know, and that, the funny thing about that, too, is it says, there is an oasis of hammocks hidden in the woods, and if you find them, you can snooze all day. So is that like part of the adventure? Like, we have to find the secret hammocks
to sleep. Yeah,
and then you could just see it back at like the dining hall. Like, hey, we found the secret hammocks. Oh, where are they? Oh, we're not telling. You know,
they change them, move them every day. So you have to look in different.
You want
to
be part of the crowd that knows where the secret hammocks are. Yeah,
there's a trend. I saw, and a friend looked it up, and it's actually a real thing. But people buying hammocks, going to parks, like public parks, and then just sleeping in them.
Oh, I've seen it.
And especially here, I've seen there's lots of people around.
Yeah.
And
they take them and tie them between two trees, and they just take a siesta.
Yeah.
Yep, I've seen that. Or they get a couple next to each other, and they just, you know, lay there. And usually it's like teenagers, and they're just chit-chatting or whatever they're doing. And, yeah, I have seen that. I've also seen people take, what would they call them? Tight ropes, basically, between trees, like 3 feet off the ground, and they'll walk them.
Right. I saw that too.
So, yeah. Different park trends that are occurring. And then the funniest one, of course, was when I saw a bunch of adults pretending to be like medieval knights.
Right. The live action role play.
They were in like full costume, and they were having a sword fight. And I was walking through the park with my family, and we just stopped and just looked at them. And they were like trying to speak old timey English, like, ye stop hence, you know, whatever they were saying, and they were hitting each other with these Nerf swords.
Yeah.
And it was all guys, and there was one girl, and I thought, well, she must be like the maiden in distress, like they're trying to capture her. I don't know, you know, young men, they were young guys, and young men are trying to impress the ladies, and in this case, the lady. So I don't know if they were trying to impress her with their like Nerf skills, their sword skills.
Right.
But yeah, so you see all kinds of things at the park.
Yeah, I would have brought a Nerf gun to a Nerf sword fight, but...
can't do that. Yeah. That's too much technology. Yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of groups out there that do those sorts of things, I guess. Here's kind of a neat one. This is from the Washington Post as well. Three friends celebrate their 100th birthdays together while remembering a fourth. So there's these three friends are still alive. They're 100 years old. They were born in the same area. And they've just lived for 100 years. Pretty amazing. You find people that are 100 occasionally, but usually not in like a tight-knit community like that. It says, on Saturday, three D.C. women, best friends for nearly a century, celebrated reaching triple digits during a ceremony at Zion Baptist Church in the 16th Street Heights neighborhood of Northwest Washington. The church they have all attended since childhood, so it's the exact same building. We're all the same church. I think the building might have moved. They were all born in June or July of 1916. They had hoped for a fourth close friend to be there, but she died in May, just 2 months shy of her 100th birthday. The ceremony paid tribute to Barnes, this lady that had died, and a large portrait of her sat on the church bench beside her friends throughout the 90-minute service. Barnes, Butler, Underwood, and Ruth Hammett met as children growing up in the Southwest Washington, where Zion Baptist Church was originally located. They played jacks and hopscotch and jumped rope together, and three of them had babies in the same year, 1933. A half-hour video aired during the ceremony in which each of the women, including Barnes, talked about their lives, their friendships, regrets, and offered wisdom to the younger generations. So they had some advice for people, and just really good general advice. One of them said, don't talk back. Another said, respect people. Another said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The women all attributed their longevity to prayer and the grace of God. Butler said, I prayed to him every day and thank him every day. So I guess without knowing all the details of their lives, the things that come out about them is they're pretty positive people. They seem pretty thankful, pretty happy. They said later in the article that they've had good lives and they're happy. And so I think that positivity and that positive outlook probably helped them, you know, live such long and fruitful lives.
Right. Yeah, this is really interesting and pretty neat to see three friends grow old together as well, especially in the headlines where there's a lot of friends being broken apart for whatever reason. It is neat to see that. And I think what's also interesting is that a lot of these people who have lived so long, their advice is usually very basic, common sense, things that we've heard before, but it's true. And those are the things we often overlook, or people are always looking for the secret of life and like the secret of happiness, when it's pretty simple. Just treat others like you want to be treated, show people with respect. And I think what's also interesting as well is that they are able to grow old, I think, because they had each other. I think, at least talking with some older people, one of the harder things is that when you see your family and all your friends die that you grew up with, it is harder to keep going because you're the last one, or you're one of the last ones left.
Right.
So I think with them, it is neat that they still have each other, and that probably does help a lot.
Yeah, they brought that out in the story that they like relationships, they like being with people, and that's a big part of their life, their longevity as well. But I think it's also interesting, the article highlighted how, you know, when they were born 100 years ago, it was a different world. It was they didn't have a lot of the freedoms, because these are all black women, so they didn't have the same freedoms that they would have today. There were still some different obstacles that they had, but you know, they're positive women, and if you look at their advice to young people, it's not fight the system, you know, shake your fist at authority. A lot of the things that you kind of see coming out of the current generation. Whatever the cause might be, whether it's a race issue, whether it's, you know, there's all kinds of issues that are out there and people are kind of, you know, get up in arms about. They're not talking about any of that stuff. They're talking about being respectful people. Don't talk back. Show respect. Do unto others. Those are sound biblical principles.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they must have a really interesting perspective, because they have lived through all the greatest moments in American history, except, I mean, not all of them, but both World Wars, the Great Depression, Civil Rights.
Yeah, they talked
space
about
space age, everything.
Yeah, they talked about race riots. They remember race riots. They remember Martin Luther King Jr. Being, I think, in the area or close to wherever he was speaking. So they remember all those things. And yet, at the end of it all, what do they say? Respect, do unto others, and have that positive outlook. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That sums it up. Right? I mean, isn't that what Solomon said at the end of his life? You know?
Right.
Fear God, keep his commandments.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. And they're saying the same thing, although in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. A century of wisdom always comes back to the same things usually, and they are, I think, well, obviously they're religious people, and they try their best to live that way, and I think it's yeah, just very interesting that they're not bitter, they don't have any regrets, but they're very positive. And I think if you look at how in the world a lot of young people are very, especially maybe my generation, there's a lot of negativity or just problems with happiness, finding happiness. One of these ladies, they've been through a lot, but they found it.
Yeah. They didn't find happiness in a thing or, material possessions or whatever. They found happiness in being happy.
Yeah.
Living a happy way. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. So really interesting perspective there. It's a neat article if you have a chance to stop and read it. It's from Washington Post. Three friends celebrate their 100th birthdays together while remembering a fourth. That fourth one just didn't make it. She was so close.
Yeah.
99, and just not quite, but very interesting story there. That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live for today. You can always listen to kpcg.fm or 101.3 here in the Edmond, Oklahoma City area. And online, of course, we have the live stream there at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com. There's a link there, as well as you can get archived programs at those locations as well. And the TuneIn app, too, is a good place to listen. So make sure you do that. You can also follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm, and we'll send out some tweets about programming. And if you have anything you'd like to send us, any kind of questions, comments, concerns, or anything, you can email that comments@kpcg.fm, and we are happy to take a look at those. That'll do it for myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online, kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.